To talk about confession. Confession is so important, and I know you might be a little bit tired by now of hearing about it. We've been on this since, I think, the month of May, all summer long, talking about what the Bible calls confession, which means saying the same thing. It's consistency in declaring and saying the same things over and over again. And most importantly, it is saying the same things as the Bible says, which is also the same thing as Jesus is saying right now in the presence of the Father. The spiritual dimension runs on sound. That's one reason music is so important and so powerful. That's the reason the tone of your voice is important. That's why sounds take you places. Certain songs, certain tunes, certain blends of sounds will bring you to a place. It's a powerful, powerful thing. And there is no voice on the planet like your voice. And you know, I've heard a few voices. I'm glad that that was the only one like that. But there's no voice on the planet like your voice. It's unique. It is as unique as your fingerprint. And God did that on purpose so that you and He can have that one direct link. Anybody ever remember party lines? You know what that is? Well, aren't you glad that you're not on a party line where God is concerned? Aren't you glad that you never get a busy signal? You never get voicemail. Hello, this is God. I don't have time for you today, but if you leave a message, I will try, or at least have an angel get back to you as soon as possible. Aren't you glad that never happens? It never happens. Well, your voice is your spiritual address. It identifies you. It tells a story when you begin to speak. It is so powerful. And so what we do when we make confessions, now I know there is the confession of sin, there is a confession of wrongdoing, and the Bible tells us that we are to confess our sins, and if we do, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and we understand that, but that's not the aspect of confession that we're majoring on in this study. We're talking about the positive side of confession. We're talking about giving voice to spiritual truths that create their reality in this natural realm. Now, that's a mouthful, but it would do you a world of good to learn that and put it into practice. Confession is giving voice to spiritual truths that create their realities in this natural realm. I think I've quoted every single week, and I might as well do it again today. Jesus. Is it all right to quote Jesus in this full gospel church? In Mark 11:23, He said, "Whosoever shall say and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." So faith's confessions bring biblical realities to pass in our lives. And there are four areas of confession that we're focusing on. Number one, who I am in Christ. Number two, what I have in Christ. Number three, what I can do through Christ. And number four, where I am and where I'm going in Christ. We talked a little bit about who I am. We could have stayed there a lot longer, but we moved on to what I have, and that's where we are now. Last week, we looked at the fact that we have the Holy Spirit. Aren't you glad for the person of the Holy Ghost? Thank God Brother Armin told you a little bit more about Him and what He does in your life as you were here Wednesday night. But we are going to look at a different one. We're not going to leave our dependence on the Holy Spirit, of course, because He has a part to play in this, as you will see. But I want to talk to you today about the fact that we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. That's very, very important. And got my dollar store reading glasses here. Don't that look distinguished? You know, I'm getting a little bit ornery here. I better pray and get serious. Father, thank you for your word. We're going to look into it. And we're going to depend on you for utterance in the Holy Ghost. There's so much that we could say. But there's only one message for this day, for this hour, this moment. So I pray for that one, that we would say what you want us to say. Think through my mind, speak through my lips, and give to each of us a receptive and open heart to receive the seed of the Word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I'm going to start reading with the seventh verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I'm going to read from the Amplified Classic, as it's called now. And so you can look at whatever translation you have, or you can look at it. It'll be up on the screen. And you can just listen. And as a matter of fact, at this point in time, right now, that might be one of the best things to do, is just let it soak in. Now, you know the Amplified Bible is called the Woman's Bible because it has so many words. Drop your rocks. But it has a lot of good expanding phrases and words. And so I'm going to use most of them in the parentheses and the brackets. So I want to start with verse number 7 and read all this, and then we'll come back and pick it up and preach a couple of hours. How's that sound? But rather, what we are setting forth is a wisdom of God once hidden from the human understanding and now revealed to us by God, that wisdom which God devised and decreed before the ages for our glorification, that is, to lift us into the glory of His presence. None of the rulers of this age or world perceived and recognized and understood this, for if they had, they would never have crucified the Lord of glory. But on the contrary, as the Scripture says, what eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and has not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared, made, and keeps ready for those who love Him, that is, for those who hold Him in affectionate reverence, promptly obeying Him and gratefully, recognizing the benefits He has bestowed. Yet, to us, God has unveiled and revealed them by and through His Spirit. For the Holy Spirit searches diligently, exploring and examining everything, even sounding the profound and bottomless things of God, the divine counsels and things hidden and beyond man's scrutiny. For what person perceives, knows, and understands what passes through a man's thoughts, except the man's own spirit within him? Just so, no one discerns, comes to know and comprehend the thoughts of God, except the Spirit of God. Now we have not received the Spirit that belongs to the world, but the Holy Spirit who is from God, given to us that we might realize and comprehend and appreciate the gifts of divine favor and blessing so freely and lavishly bestowed on us by God. And we are setting these truths forth in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Holy Spirit, combining and interpreting spiritual truths with spiritual language to those who possess the Holy Spirit. But the natural, non-spiritual man does not accept or welcome or admit into his heart the gifts and teachings and revelations of the Spirit of God, for they are folly, meaningless nonsense to him, and he is incapable of knowing them, of progressively recognizing, understanding, and becoming better acquainted with them because they are spiritually discerned and estimated and appreciated. But the spiritual man, say that's me. But the spiritual man tries all things, that is, he examines, investigates, inquires into, questions, and discerns all things, yet is himself to be put on trial and judged by no one. He can read the meaning of everything, but no one can properly discern or appraise or get an insight into him. Now, listen carefully to the last verse, verse 16. For who has known or understood the mind, the counsels, and purposes of the Lord so as to guide and instruct him and give him knowledge? But we have the mind of Christ, the Messiah, and do hold the thoughts, feelings, and purposes of his heart. Say this with me. I have the mind of Christ. Now, there are times when maybe we don't sound like it. There may be times when you've had your doubts. But the fact is, if you're born again, if you know Jesus in a personal and real way, that inside of your inner man is the presence of the Holy Spirit to give to you the ability to think God's thoughts. When we talk about the mind of Christ, we are talking about the intellect of Christ, the emotions of Christ, the attitudes of Christ, the feelings of Christ, and the will of Christ. When I say intellect, emotions, attitude, feelings, and will, those of you who have been around here a good while and studied with us in different types of studies probably are thinking about another one-word term to describe that part of a person, and that is the soul. So when the Bible says we have the mind of Christ, he is in essence saying you have access to the soul of Christ. Now, we are created by God in his image as a triune being. God is a Trinity. You're a Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You are spirit, soul, and body. Now, it's easy to identify the body. We know what it is. But what about what the Bible calls the inner man? Or the hidden man of the heart? What is that? Well, the broad meaning of the inner man or the hidden man of the heart is the spirit with the soul attached. Your spirit never goes anywhere without your soul. So though they are different parts of your makeup and have different purposes, they never are separated except really one way, and that is the Word of God, Hebrews tells us, is a sword that divides between the soul and the spirit. And that doesn't mean it divides to separate them and make them apart from each other. It means that it divides to show us the difference of what each part does. Now, we're not going to go into a lot of detail with this. We have talked about it much more in other lessons, and we will again, I'm sure. But the spirit is the innermost part of you. It's the core of your being. It's the heart, the center of your being. I'm talking about the blood pump. I'm talking about the very center of your being. That's where God lives if you're born again. And when you got filled with the Holy Ghost, that part became so full that it overflowed and came out of your mouth. In a language given by the Holy Spirit, that's the language of the Spirit. And it's a powerful, powerful thing. That's the Spirit. That's where the fruit of the Spirit resides. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and temperance. Those ninefold fruit of the Holy Spirit, those reside in the recreated human spirit. That's the real you. That part of you will never die. Now, if you're born again, you will exist on, live on with eternal life. If you're not born again and you die in that non-born again state, you will exist in eternal death. It's a big deal. People need Jesus. If they don't know the Lord, they need him. Heaven is real, but also hell is real. And then the soul of man is the mind, the will, the emotions, the intellect. It's the part of you that wills to do things. It's the part of you that makes decisions. It's the part of you that has feelings and emotions and is moved by different things, maybe things you see or hear or certain circumstances. You can even think about things and it'll change your mood. And that's a part of your soul, and God made you that way. We are not a mind, just like God isn't a mind, but we have a mind. Amen? God is a spirit. You're a spirit, but God has a mind, and you have a mind. Amen. Now, I want to point this out because it's very important to know that your soul and your spirit can exist apart from your body. The brain is just the physical organ that the mind and the soul operates through. Anybody remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus, as we call it? Everybody probably has heard about that one. And you remember that story, how that the rich man in hell lifted up his eyes, and some way, somehow, he was able to have a conversation with Father Abraham. And the rich man in hell had emotions. He had feelings. He had reasoning faculties. He had memory. His soul was intact. He had lost it in the sense that he could no longer make choices to change anything about his future. He was locked in to an eternity in hell. I mean, think about it. He's still there. He's still there. But he didn't lose the ability to think or reason or feel. And when he spoke with Father Abraham, Father Abraham had memory, reasoning capabilities. And so you see, you are going to be you whether you're in this body or out of this body. That's why Paul was so positive even about the aspect of physical death. It wasn't that he was just wanting it to just necessarily happen the next second, I don't think. But he understood, as he said, and the Holy Spirit told him to write, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When your spirit leaves, your body dies. So your spirit leaving means that there is no cessation between those two moments. It's just like if I went over here and went out those doors, I would be just as alive before I went out as after I went out. It would be me who went out. I would just change locations. And that's all that happens when a believer dies, particularly, is that you just change locations. You're still going to have your soul, your mind, your will, and emotions. You're still going to be a spirit being. You're just going to be outside the physical body. And one of these days, we're going to get a brand new body that's going to be able to accommodate that kind of a spiritual being for eternity. It will be an immortal body. It'll never be subject to death. And it's going to be good looking. Praise the Lord. Amen. So I wanted you to understand that, to know that the mind of Christ, if you will, the soul of Christ, if I can say it that way, is something that is available to us right now. And so let's think about that for just a little while today. And especially for all of you that are going back to school, if you're listening to me still and keeping up with what we're saying, this is your edge. This is your edge in business. This is your edge in money management. This is your edge in dealing with your relationships, is the ability to think about things like God thinks, to have the mind of Christ. Christ there, the Greek word Christos, it means, it corresponds to Messiah in the Old Testament Hebrew, and it means the anointed one. So we have the mind of the anointed of God on the inside of us. That's your capability. So never again say, I'm stupid. I'm so dumb. Anything that has to do with your mind that's not good, you need to take that out of your vocabulary right now. Well, you know, I'm getting old and forgetful. If you say so. I'm just a dummy, if you say so. Because your confession in this area is going to have a great deal to do with how your mind functions throughout the rest of your life. Here's something you need to understand about the mind of Christ. And I find this fascinating. I find it exciting. I am so glad to think about this in this way. Are you ready? Here we go. Everything that Jesus knows, you can know if you need to. Everything that Jesus knows, you can know if needed by accessing this resource that is available to us We're not trying to get it, not hoping for it. We're not going to get it later. It's already now. If we access this resource now in Christ, we can think about things and feel about things and have an attitude about things just like Jesus. Now think with me for just a moment or two. How did Jesus operate in the earth? Did you ever see him have a fit? I've had a few. But Jesus didn't. Do you ever see him confused? No. You ever see him going around saying, you know, I just don't know what in the world we're going to do. I've got all excited about this crusade stuff, and I'm out here now. We've got a big crowd. It's a wonderful crowd. Any preacher would love to have a crowd of 5,000. But lo and behold, there's no Wendy's, and they're hungry. And you know what hungry people do after they get so hungry they become hangry. And they're capable of bad things, maybe. And we don't have any food. Can you imagine Jesus turning to Peter, James, and John saying, I don't know what to do. I mean, we don't even think like that. When I talk that way, you say it sounds so facetious, because it is. Because there's under no circumstances that you can think of that Jesus would ever say those things or act that way. Why? Because he didn't think about life in terms of being defeated. It won't work. It can't work. I don't know if we're going to make it. He never, not only did he not say it, he wasn't thinking it. And you have that mind in you. Every time you face a challenge, every time you come against something that looks so impossible, as a believer, if you will wait just a moment on God and you will look to God, take your eyes off the problem, take your eyes off the need, take your eyes off the confusion, take your eyes off the mess, and look to God for just a moment, you will begin to pick up on the mind of Christ that's in you. You don't have to fall to pieces. I guess that made Patsy Cline a lot of money, but it's not going to help you. You don't have to fall to pieces. Amen. Now, the mind is the gateway to your spirit. How you keep your mind is, in a sense, the way you are a doorkeeper to your spirit. The things you allow yourself to think about, which the things we think about, in most cases, comes two ways. This is not the only way they come, but this is primarily the two ways they come. They come by what we see and what we hear. The ear gate and the eye gate. So important. So I just want to ask you this question today. Who and what are you listening to? Because not only is who and what you're listening to going to determine what you believe, but it's also going to take you in the direction that that person is going. Like this story I heard about the lion who felt really big, and he decided to go out into the bush, and he found, you know, a rancher had a herd of cattle, and so he didn't mess around with the calves or the cows. He actually ate the bull. He's big. And he felt so good about himself that he began to roar ever so loud. And a hunter heard the roar and killed the lion. The moral of the story is, if you're full of bull, keep your mouth shut. Amen. It's really important that you listen to people that are talking the right things, saying the right things. Forgive me for telling that story, Glenn. But it is so important what you see. Man has always been a visual people, a visual being, I guess I should say. And pictures, you know, get branded in your mind. And that's why it's important not to look at the wrong pictures. So we not only don't want to listen to, we don't want to listen to the wrong people saying the wrong things, but we don't want to see the wrong things either, because what will happen is what you begin to see and hear will begin to affect what you're thinking, and your dominant thoughts will always take you in that direction. So we have to discipline ourselves for the mind of Christ. We have to discipline ourselves so that we can walk in the things of God. The mind, as I say, is a gateway. In 1 Corinthians 16:9, the Apostle Paul was speaking to the Corinthian church and talking about an opportunity that the Lord had opened up for him for the preaching of the gospel. He said, there's a door open and there are many adversaries. Many adversaries. So what's our lesson today for that? Well, everywhere there's a doorway for a blessing from God, everywhere there's a doorway for an opportunity from God, everywhere there's an opportunity, a door of blessing and utterance, increase, anything good like that, that's where the adversaries are. That's where the devil's going to try to trip you up. That's where he's going to try to tell you, you can't, and give you all those reasons. He's going to want you to think his thoughts instead of the mind of Christ. I'm going to tell you that most everything that we, Glenn and I, have ever done in ministry particularly, and otherwise in other areas of our life, almost all those things, there was a time in our life when it did not look like we could. If we would have went by what we saw, if we would have went by maybe at times how we felt, if we would have went even by what other people might have told us, we would not have done many of the most important things we've ever been blessed to do. If you can do your thing without supernatural help, it's not God's thing. It is just yours. But I can guarantee you, you won't reach forth to those things bigger than you, greater than you, and those things beyond maybe what other generations in your family have done or whatever. You'll never reach for those things unless you have the mind of Christ, unless you start thinking like God thinks. Now, in Proverbs chapter 2 and verse number 7, the Bible says there to us that God lays up for us sound wisdom. It doesn't say he lays it up from us. He's not hiding it from us, but he lays it up for us. And the reason it's laid up there is because you have to get to the place where you can reach up and take it, and it's also laid up there so that it's protected from your enemy. You see, the devil doesn't know everything. Remember we read in the text earlier in 1 Corinthians 2 that had the princes of this world known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory? You remember we read that? So that tells us that the devil doesn't know everything, because that's basically saying if the devil had known what the crucifixion was going to really do to him, he would have never done it. And so you understand, don't you, that the devil is not omniscient. He doesn't know everything. He knows that which has been declared or that which is being declared. He knows that there are certain things that will happen by natural law. And he also evidently is very proficient at playing the odds with people, what they might do, what they might not do. And he uses some of the same tricks over and over and over again on humans because they have worked so well. But just because he has some probabilities he thinks is in his favor, and just because he's observed humans for 6,000 years and thinks he knows a lot about us, does not mean he knows everything about the purposes and the plans and the will and the mind of God. There are things that are only revealed through God, and you and I, unlike the devil, have the ability to reach into that realm and get it. Two ways, and we're going to be done quickly. Two ways of accessing the mind of Christ: the Word and the Spirit. Can you say amen? God's Word and the Holy Spirit. In Romans chapter 12, we're told, beginning in verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect, good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the Word of God is the key to renewing our minds. One of the keys, the Word and then the Spirit. So our minds have to be constantly renewed. And I've said this many times, but just like your teeth don't stay brushed, your hair doesn't stay combed, your body doesn't stay bathed, there are certain things we have to do over and over and over again to be current and clean and all of that. Well, the same is true where your mind is concerned. You won't have a renewed mind unless you keep on renewing it. And one of the primary ways you renew your mind is with the Word of God. And I want everybody listening to me today to get this in your spirit. It's the Scriptures that you come to again and again and again. The Scriptures that you have heard so many times that maybe in the natural you might be a little tired of hearing. Those Scriptures that you can now quote, or at least partially quote the verse. Those things that you've heard over and over and over again. Those are the things that are renewing your mind. Because I promise you, when you get in a place where that thing needs to come out of you and it needs to dominate you, if it's been put in there, that's what the Holy Spirit will draw out at that moment. And so I'm encouraging you to keep renewing your mind with the Word of God. You need to read the Word every day. You don't have to read a whole book every day. You don't have to read 1,000 pages a day. You need to read from the Word of God every single day. And you need to meditate the Word of God every single day. That's to mutter, to ponder, to speak to yourself, to speak that Scripture over and over again, or that phrase or those words over and over again. You know, I've been one of my little meditation points recently has been a truth that I saw from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28. I was listening to somebody preach and teach about redemption, and I began to see this, that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, we overcome the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Everybody's familiar with that scripture, Revelation 12:11? Well, so it's important to be an overcomer that you testify. Or we could say confess. Works pretty handy, doesn't it? But it's true. That we are confessing. And so I realized in Deuteronomy 28, verse 61, I looked it up. Deuteronomy 28:61 is that verse where Moses is by the Holy Spirit telling Israel that their redemption includes redemption from every sickness and every plague. He listed a bunch of them and he just caps it off as saying every sickness and every plague. And so I realized one of my confessions needs to be, thank you, Lord, that by the blood of Jesus, Galatians 3:13 and 14, by the blood of Jesus, I am redeemed from every sickness. See, that's just one little nugget, one little key that you get when you meditate the Word of God. And it works in every area of your life. It'll work financially, it'll work physically, it'll work emotionally, all these different areas. And so we need to live in the Word and stay in the Word, and we need to read it, we need to meditate on it, we need to confess it, we need to speak it, we need to act on it. Amen. Hallelujah. And then the last part, the second aspect of renewing our mind, is we access the minds and the thoughts of God by the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit. You know, in 1 Corinthians 2:11, we already read the verse, but I'm going to reread it again. It says, for what person perceives, knows and understands what passes through a man's thoughts, except the man's own spirit within him? Just so, no one discerns, comes to know and comprehend the thoughts of God, except the Spirit of God. So the reason we want to cultivate a relationship with the Holy Spirit is because there's a number of reasons, but the Holy Spirit knows the mind of God. And so as you rely on the Holy Spirit and as you move in the Spirit, as you pray in tongues, for instance, and meditate the Word and wait before God, the Holy Spirit will reveal to you the mind of Christ. God knows where your money needs to be invested. God knows the next job that you need to take. God knows how to manage your business. God knows what courses to take in school and which school to go to. God knows who to marry and who to avoid. Amen. God knows everything. And you, I know, you know, we don't always feel like it. And if you're hearing this for the first time today, this may seem far out. And you need to go home and check it out. You really do. But there is nothing that Jesus knows that he's not willing to reveal to you and to me if we need to know it. Now, God's not going to help you gossip. You know, I don't need to know everybody's business. I don't need to know all of the dirty laundry of everybody. That's not my thing. But anything I need to know to bring God's word to pass in my life and to bless me with the abundant life Jesus planned for me, anything I need to know, Jesus will reveal it to me. And that action that we take on the Word of God is the actions of success. You know, what I mean is, if you act on the Word and you're led by the Spirit of God, then God's going to make you a success. He's going to heal you. He's going to bless you. And it all comes from within. You remember I said in the early moments here that we are a spirit possessing a soul and we live inside a physical body. I brought this glove here today as an example. You can just see it's just a leather glove, not anything special. I've had this thing for years. It's very comfortable, you know. But, I mean, there's nothing to it. But when I do this, the glove's alive. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Stop. Come over. You know. The only reason the glove is alive is because something living is inside it. Your body is the same way. Don't let it rule you. Your body will do crazy things, stupid things. I mean, I could go down the list, but you know the list. But if you will live from within, then the body goes wherever it has to go. I've got one finger up because that's all I want up. This glove cannot do 5 on its own. It does 1 at a time. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, tell them I'm busy. But that's the way your body and your spirit and soul is. Your spirit and soul inside your body gives it animation and gives it life. And when you're done spiritually, and when, you know, just like I just did, I'll do it one more time just for illustrative purposes, you know, it's all alive and all moving until that's all that happens when people dies. And then we do whatever we do. But you see, the real you, that's where all the keys to success and blessing is. Paul told the Romans, and he told us through the Scripture, if you live after the flesh, you'll die. But if you live after the Spirit, if you crucify the deeds of the flesh and live after the Spirit, you'll live. And that's what God wants for you. Say it with me. Say, I have the mind of Christ. Say this, clear direction and guidance belong to me. I am led by the Spirit. Therefore, I make wise and prosperous decisions in my life. Hallelujah. Now give Him thanks for that. Thank you, Lord, for the Word and the Spirit that brings to us the mind of Christ. Greater is He that's in you than he that is in the world. Amen.